is being purified. God's church is being purified, right? Not now. What God is doing, separate Jew from Jew, Gentile from Gentile, pagan from pagan, Christian from Christian. The lukewarm church is not the hot church. Being a Jew but lips only is not heartfelt, and so on. God is doing that, separating the two groups, the one born of the Spirit, messianic Jewish people, lukewarm people. No, we're not that. We're hot for Jesus. All of that is not even done by you, just done by God. So he knows who are his by foreknowledge. Even the pagans are turning to Jesus. As a matter of fact, there's a revival going on among those that are part of the world. And when they see your good works, when they see the good works of Jesus, they give glory to God. But you don't control anything. You're not in control of anything. And apart from me, you can do nothing. So it's good to be nothing. I'm not prepared today to do anything. However, at the last moment, just before we left, God showed me, don't do what you just studied on. Do this one. And this is Deuteronomy 21. And I only read one sentence in it and said, I'll preach on that. So this one sentence is so weird. And I don't blame anyone for not understanding it. It's all about when you go to war against an enemy. This is what it's about. Well, we're warring today. Everything you're warring today, because we're all soldiers, onward Christian soldiers. You're all soldiers in the Lord's army. You're the host on earth, but you belong to the host of heaven. You're under the host of heaven, those good angels that always surround God and so on. And today, more people are turning to Christ. So it seems like, it appears like, that the Antichrist is winning today. His stock is up. It appears like that to the world. The world says, wow. And many people are going to the devil. I mean, they're just warring against us, and they're the enemies of the gospel. They're not my enemies. They're not my enemies. I'm not hateful toward people that do whatever they do. I'm not hostile toward them. But when you go to war, that's how it starts out. So he's talking to the Jewish people, but I read the Jewish people because I'm born again, filled with the Spirit every day and led of the Spirit. So I read it spiritually. It's actually talking about us. It's talking about the new man in Christ. And so I want to read this, and then whatever comes out of my mouth, it's not prepared. Whatever I say. So first I'm going to read it. When you go forth to war against your enemies, they're actually God's enemies, enemies of the gospel, and you see horses and chariots and an army larger than your own. Now you're making war with an enemy that's larger than us. So when you go to war, you cannot defeat coronavirus. You cannot defeat the homosexual agenda. You cannot defeat anything which is larger than you. And they're larger in the sense as they're all joining together. The homosexual community is divided into lesbians and gays and so on and so forth. But you get all mixed up because then there's transvestites and there's trans, everything. And so and no one knows who, they don't know who they are today. And it's like, it's so simple. I'm a man that God created to be a servant, to be a slave, and just do his bidding. And I could do it. So I just do it in faith because he hasn't come back yet. When he comes back, I'll see it. But today I don't see it. So I just do it in faith. And I don't appear any different than a pagan and so on and so forth. I have the same temptations that they have and so on. But I just don't give in to them. I just go by the word. Whatever the word says, I just go by that. And when it says so, it says like, rejoice in the Lord always. Then I'm always rejoicing, even when I'm doing bad. Because my heart, and he never judges the behavior. He just judges your heart. And it's like King David said, if you should mark iniquities, who could stand? But since he then numbered the people, then he, you know, killed his best friend Uriah, you know, big soldier guy, married, slept with his wife. And, you know, he did all kinds of wrong things with a lousy dad and so on. So King David said, if you should mark iniquities, who could stand? But then he ends up saying, I'm going to just do whatever God says. And God said, he's a man after my own heart. Isn't that amazing? He's only judging the heart. And God knows all the secrets of everybody's heart and soul. He knows everything that you don't know. And the things that you don't know, you don't need to know, because they're secrets. That's Deuteronomy 29, 29. We'll get to that later. So Deuteronomy 29 says, the secret things belong to God, but the revealed things I've entrusted to man. So Psalm 115, 16 says that the heaven itself, singular, the heaven, the highest heaven, that's singular. That's where God dwells. But then even the mid-heavens belong to God. So, and the heavens, the heaven and the heavens, because he's high above everything, and they belong to God. So no one can ever go to Mars and, you know, live there and so on and so forth. It's just not hospitable and so on and so forth. So we're only talking about the enemies on earth. When you go to war against your enemies, do not fret. Do not be anxious. Do not be stressed out. Do not worry that they outnumber you, that they outgun you, that they have all the whole world on their side and you have nothing but a remnant. You have nothing but a small group. Israel's the same. There's a small group of Israelis who are messianic Jews, but they actually believe the Messiah has already come. And they're the swing vote in Israel, and you have to win their approval in order to, so you have to make a deal with them. And you see that their army is larger than yours. You shall not be afraid of them. Fear not. Fear not. Why? Because God is going to fight for you. He doesn't want you to fight. So you're a soldier that doesn't do anything. You're a soldier that believes that God is fighting for you so that when you win the victory, you thank God. Soli Deo Gloria. To God be the glory. So all the glory goes to God because he doesn't want you to work. He doesn't want you to do good works. How many know the Catholics do good works and the Jewish people do good works and the Muslims do good works and everybody does a good work when they're chopping your head off? They're doing a good work for God, for Allah, for, you know, whoever they're doing it for. But they're doing it for no reason at all, because God knows you can't do a good work. You can't stop sinning. You can't do anything good or evil. You can't do anything. You are evil if you do it yourself. And everything you do is evil. So good and evil is easy. God's good, you're evil. Could I hear an amen? Amen. Yeah, because whatever you set out to do, it doesn't line up with the word. It doesn't line up with the word. And since it's not conformed to the word, that's your standard right there. That's the law right there. But the word is twofold. One is the law that commands you. The other is the gospel that forgives you. I like the gospel. That's why it's called good news. I like the gospel. So since there's two parts to the Bible, not Old and New Testament, because the Old Testament has the gospel in it. And so under the law is the gospel hidden. God hides stuff from you, but he knows all about it. Now, as a Christian, you can read the Bible according not to the letter of the law, which kills, to the spirit of the law, which gives eternal life. So I can read eternal life on every page of the Old and the New Testament. One doctrine. One doctrine. One doctrine. So there's no such thing as salvation in the Old Testament that's not the New Testament. There's no such thing. As a matter of fact, Moses never taught the Israelis to keep the law. I know, but it says so according to the letter. Yeah, but that's going to kill Jesus. And then since he died willingly, there's a piece of cake for him. In 3 days, he was already up. And he already was alive again. And when he resurrected, you resurrected. When he died, you died. When he was buried, you were buried. So whatever he did, he always did it for you and I. Everything he did was never for himself, never for even the Father. It wasn't. He didn't do it for the Father. The Father doesn't want any payback. When he gives you something, grace and mercy and, you know, all those kind of wonderful things, they're all gifts. And you don't pay for a gift. I mean, if it's a gift, I'm just going to give it to you, it's free. So everything for us is God and freedom. God and freedom in Texas is big. Well, it was big, but it'll be big again. Amen. As we began, so will end. As we began, so will end. So your origin determines your destiny. Your origin determines your destiny. Now that you've been born again of the Spirit, you're a spirit person. And everything you do spiritually is done by the Spirit. You don't even do it. It's done by the Spirit because God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. So if God was in Christ, I'm also in Christ. Ah, that makes us family. So if I'm in Christ and he's in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, then everything you do is acceptable to God because you do it by faith. Because the faith of Jesus Christ, because you've been crucified with Christ, yet it's no longer I live. That old I is gone. I've been crucified, yet I live. But I live by what? The faith of the Son of God who died and gave himself for me. Now I don't have to die. In other words, he died because I'm a new creation. And now I can be Jewish, I can be Muslim, I can be anything I want to be. The harvest is ripe, the laborers are few, and God is the same yesterday and today and forever, never changes. He, the changeless one, changes me into his image and into his likeness. Because I want to be God on my own. Everybody in the world is born to be God. So they pretend. So they think. In other words, I don't want to be like God. I want to be God and have everything under my control and the way I want it to be. So your will always wants to do your own thing for selfish reasons. Isn't that exciting? That's exciting. Because that's the one he loves. I love sinners who repent. Repent is metanoia. Meta means change, and noia means your mind. But it doesn't translate that way. The real use of that word is change of heart. So I'd rather have not the Latin penitentium agite, but the Greek metanoia, which means you had to change your heart. So which one is better? When God changes your heart, you have a new heart. All you got to do is read the word, faith cometh by hearing. You just read the word. You don't read it to understand it. You don't read it to want it. You don't read it to feel it. You just read it. And when you read it and you hear it, it produces faith. So everything Jesus said is always for me. He's always for me. I'm the apple of his eye. You're the apple of his eye. And it can't have another lover. Everything beneficial goes to you. Everything that Jesus has ever done and still doing, because he's not finished yet. He hadn't even come back a second time. When he comes back a second time, you'll have a new heart, new soul, new body. But today, you just have the old body, the old soul, but you do have a new heart. So at least you got a down payment. At least you have something going for you that God gave you a new heart. And what did you do? Nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But if you have Jesus, and Jesus first loved you as a sinner, whether you sin, whether you repent or not, he doesn't care. That's up to you. That's up to you. But when you hear it, it's all good news. And so since it's all good news, everything in the Bible is good news. Even the Old Testament, woe unto you and all that. Jesus took all those curses and ended them. There's no curse in the New Testament. There's no curse in the New Testament. You don't curse your enemies. A lot of people say, I wish I could curse this, you know, blah, blah, blah. You can't do it because there's no curse. Because God loves everybody. He made everybody and he loves everybody. When you were born in the womb, the minute you were born, God with this finger, not the left hand, which is everybody. This is the right hand, which is just a remnant, just a few people. So a few people are Christians. Do you know that we don't outnumber all the Muslims and all the Christians and all the bad guys? They have a bigger army. Their army is bigger. And they can all join together. So you see, then the transvestites and all these people all join. They don't even know what they're doing. But they all join together, so they're a big army. And so when you go against the enemies of the gospel, you'll be in the minority, the remnant. And because of that, you're covered by the blood of Jesus. You win. You win the victory every time. Just like Santa Anna, you know, in 1836, on March 6th, on that date, he was defeated at San Jacinto. He was just defeated in less than 18 minutes. But 2 weeks before the Alamo, he killed everybody. He destroyed them. So who's going to win? God in tyranny or God in liberty? Liberty won. I'm just trying to tell you, it's a piece of cake when you have all your faith in God. And the only thing they agreed to, is don't do anything. Just put your reliance on God. Just hope in God. So he had General Houston. He only had, 783 people with him. Those are the only soldiers he had. And the other group had 1,500 with Santa Anna. But Santa Anna lost in 18 minutes, and he was doing something in the tent. I don't know what he was doing. Whatever it was, he was distracted. And he was doing something, so he never did get on the battlefield, and then all of his troops got lost because they killed over 800 people when they came out because they turned a parade. You know how you parade before the enemy? And they would, you know, alacrity and spirit. They were just marching back and forth. And all of a sudden at 3:30, it's siesta time in Texas. That was siesta time for Mexicans. And they realized he was back in his tent. Nobody knew what he was doing. But what he was, not on the battlefield in time, because that's when the parade turned into a charge. And they charged the biggest cannon right off. It's right in the center. It was a 12-pounder, which is a lot. And that's something that can decimate the whole, you know, 783 people that he had. But not only did they not lose anybody, they captured over 800, and then the others surrendered right away. And they surrendered because they had no general to tell them what to do, because he was distracted by his lust. And because of that, lust always leads to hostility. And because of hostility, you lose the battle. So when you go to war against a bigger army, you win because you relied on God. So there's nothing you can do in this world to fix it up and change it and make it nice. Did you know that enemies will be with you until the end? But in the end, he gets rid of them first. And then he marries his bride. But you're his bride. So he's having a ball because he knows this is for my people that believe I'm good and they're evil. But because of that, my death 2,000 years ago, 6,000 years ago, before the foundation of the world, he was slain for our sins. So he just showed up 4,000 years later and then 33 years and all that kind of stuff. And so then we won at that time when we saw on the cross a public display that the enemy lost and Jesus won. But nobody believes in that. Even to this day, Christians are still lukewarm. They're still cold. In other words, still unbelievers. But so what? He's only judging his church today. The only thing he's judging is his church. And what is he judging? He's judging that by faith, they will have the victory. So you've already won. You've already won long before it starts, because God does it. If you did it, it wouldn't. If you did it, you're not perfect because you still have sin in your life. How many Christians sin? How many know? Christians sin. Christians. The very person that you married as a Christian, that's like an enemy, because that person might not be a true Christian. They might not be, you know, faithful, and so on and so forth. So forgive them. If you marry someone that doesn't love you, forgive them. And then love them. And then bless them. And then pray for them. And benefit them. And never curse them. That's how we win. Our weapons are not carnal. We don't need to win the war with carnal weapons because they don't work. America being great, you know, as Trump says, that's fine, but it won't happen. It won't happen because, you know, he wants to do it, but what you want may not turn out to be true. And he's a Christian. I mean, he believes in Christianity, always thanks us and gives praise to God, and that's good enough. I don't need to be perfect because I don't care about his sins. I only care about his heart. So whether he's born again, whether he's mature or not, that's for God to do. I don't even do that kind of stuff. I just know right now he's doing fine. I mean, he smiles all the time. And he's always happy. He doesn't seem to be disturbed by the, you know, false press and all that kind of stuff. He seems to, keep the idea that everything should be for the people. Ah, that's exactly it. Everything's for the people. And even the people that hate his guts, he loves them, prays for them. If he doesn't, well, too bad for him. But the point is, as a Christian, you have to be a leader that's a servant. You have to be a leader, just like a husband always bears the burden and the wife always gets the blessing. Well, that's in theory. So I'll say that again, because usually the woman feels like, you know, she's got the shorter end of the stick, and the husband gets all the blessing and the woman gets all the burden, you know. It's so in my family. Peggy always said, "You know you need me." Yeah, and I like that. But when I fell off the roof several years ago and landed on my head, you know, so on and so forth, Peggy said, Jesus, I can't live without him. That's when I woke up right away. I woke up. I should, but blood was coming out of me. My ribs were crushed and all that kind of stuff was happening. 25 points on my body were destroyed. Lung was collapsed. You know, the eye was, you know, had 18 stitches in my ear, and the eye was closed and so on and so forth. I had no idea, but when she said that, boy, I woke up right away. I was, whoa. I knew right away. Peggy's never said that. And she was surprised at her own mouth saying that. But she saw that I was dead, and she saw the blood, you know, running out. And so she said, "Oh, I guess that guy's gone." Jesus, just came out, you know, spontaneously. And immediately, because there were 6 roofers on our roof, and I was up there sweeping off the dirt. How many know you can't do that? But anyway, I didn't want it to land on the, you know, all of the food that we had up there and so on. Because, when it turned to the next century, I had food. I made everybody in this church get buckets of food and then seal it and then vacuum, you know, do it, and then put a fig leaf in there or whatever, some kind of leaf. You had to do all of that. And then you have all that stuff, and then it rotted up there. Because it only lasts 15 years like that. And so it was too late. Anyway, I was saving all those buckets. So they're probably still up there. Anyway. But the point is, you know what? As a Christian, you don't have to worry about anything. Fret not because of evildoers. Their evildoers are everywhere. Everywhere. And they're even in you. And even you sin. Even you sin. Every once in a while, you get angry. Every once in a while, you get frustrated. Every once in a while, you know, you feel murmuring on you, and you want to murmur and complain and, you know, gripe and so on. It's okay. God forgives all that. He's not talking about your behavior. He's only talking about your heart. Do your heart. If your heart is right with God, then you're a man after God's own heart, a person. You're a person after God's own heart. That's all he's ever wanted. So, Julia, you're going to make it. Not because of your behavior. Lynn, she's a better person. No. Much better person. But she'd be in heaven first. But no, you're going to make it because of your faith in Jesus, because you know how to repent, because you know you needed it. You know, I need mercy. I need mercy to work. Do it quick. And how many knows God does not have the same watch you have for quick? And when God says, I will do it, he might take his time. He might take his time. And so he doesn't do things right away because you have sin in your life, and he's trying to remove that before you enter into another relationship. How many know God is doing that right now? He's removing all the sin from his church. So we could be the first church in Fort Worth that actually has no sin. But since he works in the dark, you would never know about it. Because daily, every day, he's daily loading us with benefits. Every day, benefits. You're being blessed every day. He favors you every day, but you don't even see it. You just have to believe in it without seeing it. Everything in Christianity is not seen except this word. This word is the only thing you have. This is the measuring stick. He is the measure of all things. He is your standard. You have to conform yourself to this, but you don't do it. Jesus does it for you. Jesus does it in you. Jesus does it through you. So if Jesus does it, then it's perfect, a perfect sacrifice. And then whatever he says and does works. Whatever you say and does, you can't. There's no way you can do it. So God wants you to humble yourself every day and say, I'm not God, I'm just a man. Apart from me, you can do nothing, so you're nothings. Isn't it exciting to be a nothing? Because if you're a nothing, then he does everything. Yeah. If you're a something, then he does nothing. Did you hear that? It's kind of like a switch. Yeah. His goodness is all the goodness you have. He is your righteousness. Yeah. He doesn't just have righteousness, he is your righteousness, yours, yeah. Not his. He didn't go to heaven because he said, I'm sorry, or something, because he didn't do anything. It's perfect. Yeah. But because it's perfect, God counts that. And anyone he loves, and he loves everybody, then all they have to do, there can be Muslim, the next minute they're Christian. They can be Buddhist, then they're Christian. And it's so the harvest is ripe. The harvest is always ripe. I mean, at every moment, it's ripe. So it's white for the harvest. We just sang that song that said, white for the harvest. So it's ripe. In other words, it's ready. And when a piece of whatever I'm thinking of, wheat, when it grows up like this, then it gets browner and browner and browner, and then it folds its head like that, then you know it's ripe. So a new Christian may sin a lot because sin is not counted by God. He doesn't count your sins. To him that worketh not but believeth on him that forgives the ungodly. Wow. Why does he forgive the ungodly? Because that's all he has. Everybody in the world is ungodly. Did you know that? Everybody in the world sins. And they do it at 1.5. We could see that in our granddaughter. She's doing it. She just can say, I want to. And, you know, she's stubborn already. I can see it. Do you have 1.5-year-olds? I mean, that just shows up. But if not, at least by 2, they're already ready to say out loud, no. You go to bed right now, I'm going to spank you. No. No. And then they have reasons, and they justify it right away. Well, my sister gets to say, she's 18, you're only 4. You're only 2. You're only 1. You know, whatever you are. But you don't spank them. You just simply know their heart is right, and even though they do wrong, they don't have any control over that. Did you know that? As soon as they learn the word no, they realize, I'm going to use that word someday. I don't know what it means, but I don't like it. I'm going to use that on my parents. Because then they become a person. Now they're a person. When they sin, you know that is a person. They're no longer doing what you say. Because little kids, they just smile at you and, you know, do whatever they do. They don't care. So unless you become a Christian as a little child, you'll never enter into Christianity. You have to be little kids. And what do little kids do? They just look at you. They just look at you. And then they start even crying long before they're 1.5. They start crying not because there's a pin sticking in them or anything like that. They just cry because they want attention. I'm running this show. Here, pay attention to me. And then usually the mom does that. I remember when that happened, mom said, Peg, the baby's crying. And she said, yeah, get up and take care of it. Well, that's not my job. That's your job. You have to take care of the baby. you birth that baby. Take care of that baby. And so she's crying real loud. This is not a joke here. She's really crying. Can you hear her? Yeah, get up. Go and do it. So I picked up the baby. I went and picked up the baby. And then I decided, since she's not stopping crying because I was there hugging her, you know, I just ran down the hall. And then her arm went out like this. And the fear overcame the anger. And she just stopped crying. I said, there, I did it. And then she started crying again. I'll do it like that. Her hands went out like that. And I said, Peggy, that's the last time I'm going to ask you to take care of that baby. That is, I don't want you doing like that. You see? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's your job. Anyway, how many know God is always on your side? Amen. If God be for you, who can be against you? If God be for you, who can be against you? And he loves everybody. Everybody. So you're never hateful toward people. You're never hateful toward people. Because it'll produce a war. It'll produce hostility. I'm not hostile toward anybody in the whole world, whoever they are. They can be as bad can be. I'm not hostile. I'll pray for them. I'll pray for them. Because, why? Because God says to. He says to. What he says to, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And I don't care if I fail it. I don't care if I want it. I don't care if I have anything going for me. I don't care if I understand it. I'm just going to do it. How many know that's what faith is? You're totally relying on God, even though you haven't seen him. You can't see Jesus today. You can't see the Father today. You can't even see the Holy Spirit today. You can't see them. They're up in heaven. And they're all having a ball up there. And so they're not at all worried about how the outcome will be, because they already know the beginning from the end. Or the end from the beginning. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end, and he's the way, the truth, and the life. So Jesus is everything you've ever wanted and needed. Does the world know that? No. They don't know it because the church is not hot today. And unless you're hot, you can't make the lukewarm hot, or you can't make the cold hot. But the minute he touches you, boom, just like that, you're a new creation. It's love at first sight. When he loves you and you understand his unconditional love, even as a sinner, and still you're sinning, that's when he loves you. He loves you when you're at your worst. I'll say that again. He loves you when you're at your worst. So you try to raise a child and you realize, I'm going to raise them until they're 21, you know, or 18 or 17. And it doesn't work that way. They're already rebelling and being a person long before that. So you have to love them just the way they are and realize all the sin of the parent is going to then go to the child. So when they do bad, I had to be the one that said, it's my fault. And I would kneel down before them and say, forgive me. The reason you just did what you did, which is forbidden, is because I sinned against you. I was not a good teacher. But little kids won't do that. You have to do this when they're young. So if you do that, they say, no, Dad, it's not you, your mom, you did what's right, and so on and so forth. No, no, no. What you did was a sin, but it's my fault. I take the blame even though you did it. I take the blame. That's the way God is. You see how God is? He forgives you long before you've shaped up. He doesn't want you to pay him back. He doesn't want you to be nice. He wants you not to be nice and confess your sins to God. Sin is a big deal to God because it means you're not following the standard. You're not doing what he said. And Israel never did. And Jesus came and he cursed the fig tree because he realized it was the time for figs to be on that fig tree. It's the spring of the year. And he didn't see any, so he said, your house is desolate. You're no longer my people. He rejected them. The next day, that thing was dead. No leaves, no fruit, no nothing. And that's what God will do when he comes back with Jesus the second time. He'll come back, and then everyone will be under the law. They'll perish. Unless you have faith in God, and you trust that God in liberty always gets the victory. Every time he gets the victory. So when God wants you to have a victory, just be on his side. Because he's for you, and he's in you, and he's working through you. And men, when they see your good works, they'll glorify your Father in heaven. That's not Buddha. That's not Hinduism. That's not Muslim. It's not anything. I'm telling you, all the other religions are under a law, but you're under grace. You're not under a law. There's no laws in this church. There's no laws for anybody. If I say, don't sin anymore, there's not a person here that won't. If I preach the same good news every week, there's no way I can guarantee that anyone heard it. But I know this. God says in His Word, whenever you preach the gospel, it will always have fruit. It will always do exactly what I said. So I just preach it without understanding it. I don't need to see it. I don't want to see it. I'm not even curious about seeing it. If I preach it, people will be saved, set free, healed. Money will come. Jobs will come. Everything will come. You could end coronavirus today just by your own prayer. Your own prayer. Say, God, in fact, we could do it right now. We could say, God, coronavirus is not from heaven. Amen. It is not from heaven. Amen. It happens to be a man-made thing and so on and so forth. And whether it's a bat or whatever it is, doesn't make any difference. What it is now it goes from people to people and from beast to people to beast. To, you know, you don't know how it works, but you know one thing, people are dying. So we could end it today. Who would like to pray that prayer? Alex, go ahead.
God, we know that this virus is not from you. This coronavirus is not from you. Father, we just thank you that your word has promised us that not only that by Jesus' stripes we are healed, but you've also given us power, authority to tread on serpents.
Yes.
And all the power.
Amen.
And we send it this virus to a dry and waterless place.
Yeah. Amen.
And to perish.
In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 It's good.
Hallelujah.
It's powerful.
Yes.
We just defeated it.
Yeah.
Now you don't have to see it. It's not he who sees believes. It's he who believes sees. So your faith is stronger because you can't see heaven today. You can't see anything good and decent and so on. But in heaven, it's different than down here. But if you measure yourself according to heaven and just do it by faith, by faith, by faith. I'm a real Christian. I'm serious about Jesus Christ. Oh, God heard that. And it's registered in heaven. And He counts that as righteous, even though you only did it by faith and you didn't see it. Faith means not seeing. If it's faith, it's hidden. It's hidden in the Old Testament. It's hidden in the New Testament. So whatever He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. But at times, don't you feel like He's left you and forsaking you? Everybody here is experiencing that. There's no way you cannot experience it. When all the kids got a car, they got in an accident. I mean, without question, I remember Cara was the oldest one, and she got in an accident right away, and because she said there was rain on the street. Well, okay, I'll just take the car away from you because you don't know how to act in the rain, and then we'll be driving you from now on. You're in college, but we'll be driving you. Like, Dad, I'm not going to do it again. But anyway, after the second time and so on, so that she realized. So I did that from Margaret. The Margaret was the last one because everyone had at least two accidents like that. And so then you say to Margaret, she said, Dad, I know I'm only 17, but I've learned from my two sisters and my brother. They had the minimum amount. But I will not bang up a brand new car. So don't give me a junk car like you gave to Cara and to Kirsten and to David. So don't give me one of those that if they bump into you, this junk car will survive. But they were safe. You see, nothing ever happened to them. But she said, I want a brand new car and it's going to be red. Like that. And I said, well, you're only 17. And I know, but I'm mature because I watched them. I knew what not to do. And I watched you drive. I can do it. So I said, no. No, you're not going to get it. Okay. What do I have to do to get it? No, you don't have to do anything. You have to be more mature, because even though you're young and you have good impulses and urges and so on and so forth, you're quick and so on and so forth, you don't have any experience. You don't have any experience. So all the other kids, you know, went into things. So after the first one, I said, okay, one time, we'll try it one time. Then after the first accident, then I told her, and don't blame anybody else like the others did. Don't blame anybody else. It's your own fault. Otherwise, you shouldn't be driving. So after the first one, then she came and said, Dad, okay, I had an accident, just like you said. Oh, that, praise God, you're saying that because you took full responsibility. That is mature. Could you buy another one for me? No, no. No. So that's it. Said, I don't want you driving for me, and so on and so forth. Anyway, my point is this, that after the third one, she said, Dad, sit down. She called. Sit down. It's my fault. I did wrong, so on and so forth. And I'm going to pay for everything. I'm going to pay. You just said, after the second one, you're going to pay out of your own money. So she already had, you know, a job and so on. Okay. She said, okay, I'm going to pay for it. So she came home and sat down and said, well, are you hurt? No, I'm not hurt. It's just 10. It's just 10. So now can I have the new car? No, cannot. Because even though you're going to pay for it, I'm going to ask you a question. How much money do you have saved up now? Well, nothing. I don't have anything. Well, how are you going to pay for it? Well, I was going to take a loan from you and then pay over time. How much time have you calculated? How much time that would be? No, whatever it takes, you know, because I'm mature now. I said it was my fault. I said, you know, not anybody else's fault. I'm paying for the car. I've done everything you've said. Yeah, you have. That's great. But how is it going to work? Loan from you. So I don't want to loan it to you because he could have 4 accidents in his car. So you're not going to get a new car. So anyway, you want to know how that ends up? She's driving a brand new car now. That's great. How did she do it? I don't know. I have no idea. I wasn't in on the deal. But I did make her write this down. If I ever have an accident again, I will then give up driving. I will let you and Mom take me around and so on and so forth. Good. Write that down and write down what your penalty will be. And so she did. It's exciting that everything goes our way when you do it God's way. When you do it God's way, everything goes your way. How many know that? Because mistakes are made, and God doesn't care about your mistakes. He doesn't care about your weakness. He doesn't care about your justification for sin. He only cares about one thing. Is your heart right with me? Do you only have God? Today, all my kids, all my 11 grandkids, they believe in God. They believe in Jesus. Why? Because they know that He is the only hope. God and liberty is all Texas is about. You have God, and He's always linked up with liberty, never with tyranny, never with anarchy, never with the problems. Their army will always be bigger, and you can't win, no matter what. So, you know why? Because He reserves to Himself the right to get rid of the enemy. Whenever they went into the land of Israel, God had to wipe out 6 or 7 nations. And He said, you're not going to do it. I will go before you, put fear in them, and wherever you go, they'll be afraid of you. Then the law will work. Otherwise, not. So this is the second reading of the law. And He said, the only way you can do it is I will take care of all your enemies, not you, not you, not you. This is the gospel. This is the good news of the Bible. Do you all understand what I'm saying? The good news is if you do nothing, God does everything. You did nothing to bring this marriage back together. No matter what you did, you didn't. Jesus did it. Thank Jesus. Yeah. All you can do is thank Jesus because He never stops. Once He starts, He's not going to stop because He's the Alpha and the Omega and the way, the truth, the life, everything. Everything you need, Jesus has already done long before the foundation of the world. Even before there was a world. Even before there was anything here. Sun, moon, stars, nothing. God did everything and waited. Then 4,000 years, very patiently, he waited. Then God said, now it's time. You're going to be born of the Virgin Mary. Well, how can I be born of a virgin? She's a virgin. Because the Holy Spirit will come upon her. And that's it. Spiritual. Yeah, that's the way it is. So when he came down, Jesus did everything for you, nothing for himself. He never took care of his own account. He never did anything. This will bless me in heaven. He didn't want anything. He wanted to give everything. Give everything. Give everything. Give everything. Everything is a gift to you. You have been blessed with God. You cannot change his blessing. You cannot change it. If he wants to bless you, he's going to. So it's the church that he's only working on because we're the only ones that are hot. So all of us are radiant Christians. Could I hear an amen?
Amen.
Did I get everybody? Let's say it again. Amen.
Amen.
Because you're a radiant Christian and you want to go all the way with Jesus. Could I have one testimony? One. Latrice?
I want to go all the way with Jesus because
amen.
There's no other way to go.
There's no other way to go. Where else can we go? That's right. Perfect. That's the answer. Susan. Right.
Words
right.
That he gave to them.
Right.
Because you just said yourself, yeah, we're in a war. And you just said our origin determines our destiny.
Right.
And our country had an origin.
Right.
That's different from all the other countries.
Okay. Exactly.
Okay? God set up this country. We're
right.
The only country that's free.
Right.
And the whole world is watching.
Right. Right.
A typical Christian. I believe God
right.
prepared him for this time in
yes.
our history
yes.
before he was born.
Right.
Okay?
Yep.
And that's the reason
amen.
There's so many enemies.
Right.
China, that's where the virus came from.
Right.
Okay? This is a communist anarchy uprising.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
And that's, I mean, it's all over the world, right?
Right. Right.
Yes. And yeah. I don't believe it's Donald Trump. I believe it's God.
Right.
And I believe all those people that don't know what they're doing.
Right.
It's the pit of hell. Now, some of them did.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them know what they're doing, and they're doing it on purpose. And those are the people that in the second term
right.
are going to go to jail.
Right.
Okay? And all those people that are confused.
Right. Right.
That's why they fight so hard.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it's all between them and the Lord.
Right.
It's not an individual person. They're confused.
Yeah,
right? The author of confusion. And yeah,
amen.
We're rising up to this degree.
Right.
Because he will have a second term.
Right.
I don't accept that he's not going to.
Right.
We got a vice president on the ride over here. I heard him giving his testimony.
Mm. Right.
And that pastor had written Pence a letter to tell him that he realized the reason that they went through hell for to get to that service because the future vice president of our country was going to get saved that day in 1978.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I heard that on the ride over here.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay? So I'm sorry, but I do believe
right.
this is the most awesome time.
Right.
Yeah.
They are. They are.
Why would he just get 4 years?
Right.
I mean, no way. I don't accept that. I don't accept it. That's why it's the time for rejoice right now.
I love it.
Because the enemy is fighting.
Right.
That's why the enemy's fighting.
I love it.
Because if he gets in, all the criminals are going to
Amen.
They're going to jail.
I'm going to read from 21st chapter of Luke, verse 24 through 28, just four verses. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. 24. 25. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon. I was in Israel when we saw the last moon, the fourth moon. And I saw it turn blood red. And in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations, we've seen that, with perplexing the sea and the waves, roaring tsunamis, all kinds of things. Men's heart, verse 26, failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven, up in the heavens, shall be shaken. In other words, you're going to see signs in the sky. And then shall they see the Son of Man, after that, Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Last verse. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up. Lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. So what you're seeing today is just the beginning of sorrows, but not the end. It's not the end. It's not the end. It's a wake-up call for the church to be hot. It's a wake-up call for the church to be hot. That means God wants that, and so it'll happen. Because if you look down, that means you're depressed. You're sad. You're murmuring. You're griping and complaining, whether you say so or not.
Yeah.
You are. You don't... But look up to heaven, because it's your hope. Your only hope is God, and liberty always wins. And the victory is yours forever, just like it was in the beginning, so it'll be at the end.
Amen.
Now, that's exciting, but most people are not excited today because the church is lukewarm. If you go to a church, you're not going to hear the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So it's easy if you hear it, and just hearing it, don't understand it, don't want it, don't like it, just don't worry about it. If you just cometh by hearing, you just do it by faith. You just do it by faith. I'm a Christian. You just stand up and say, I'm a Christian. I want to go all the way. I have a new heart. Now I want a new soul. I want my old soul dead, crucified with Christ, like it says in the Bible. I want that. I want that. I can't make it happen, but God, you can. And then I want a new body. Well, when he comes back a second time, it's exactly what will happen in nanosecond that he comes back a second time. That's when Israel is destroyed. Israel will be destroyed one last time. People don't want to hear that message, but too bad. Because that's the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth. What you don't realize, whenever God judges, he always, always delivers. So when he judges a people, because the kingdom of God will be made of every nation. Every nation that's out there will always have someone that's a born-again, spirit-filled, spirit-led Christian. You think, well, that'd be kind of hard. No, no, no. God loves hard things. He loves things that no one else can do, so he can do it.
Yeah.
And get all the glory and then give you the glory for free. So this is the beginning of sorrows, but it's not the end, because Israel hasn't yet been slaughtered, murdered, killed. Because they'll only be the wicked people. But you know what? All the priests are the ones that are spared. Why? Because they live among the 12 tribes of Israel. So they'll be spared. And they'll come back to Israel, the Israel that survives. And they'll be over Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel. We'll be in heaven already married to Jesus. And we'll see that. When you see that, you'll know, wow, this is what we were destined to do as a nation, as a state, as part of this country. Because this country was born in no tyranny, but built on liberty. No other nation in the world, no other nation, not even Israel, not even Greece, no one had liberty for all, for all, for all men. They didn't do it. So since they didn't do it, Jesus came and forgave all that. He said, okay, we'll do it a different way. But this is the way that God always intended it in the first place. I'm going to then, whatever I wanted, I will get this time, and your eyes will see it in the land of the living, just like Job. He said, when I know that you're my redeemer, my kinsman redeemer, you can redeem me. Well, he already did. He did before the foundation of the world. Now he's going to show you with your eyes, come down in a whirlwind, and while you're having all these troubles, he's actually working out his salvation for everyone. I don't mean everyone will be saved. I mean only a remnant out of that everyone will be saved. And God already knows that by foreknowledge. He already knows only a remnant. So you could be part of that remnant. And all you have to do is stand up and say, I want to go all the way with Jesus. I want to have spirit, soul, body. I want to be just like Jesus. I don't want to be Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. I don't want to be Jesus. I just want to be like Jesus. Because God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. So the best is yet to come. You haven't even seen the best. Nobody's even seen all the things I'm talking about. They're in the Bible. They're all in the Bible. Nothing is left out. Nothing is left out. And when that happens, you're ready. So today is the day to be saved. Today is the day to be delivered. Today is the day to be healed. Today is the day when you don't have any coronavirus, which we just prayed for. And you don't have any problems because your enemy is not your enemy. Pray for your enemy. Bless your enemy. Forgive your enemy. Pardon your enemy. Pray for your enemy. Bless your enemy. Benefit him. Why? That's Christianity. That's true Christianity. And you can just do it with your mouth. You just say the words, and there it is. So when you wake up every morning, you say, you're a new creation. You're not who you used to be. You're under new management now. Jesus Christ is your whole life. And you don't have anything else. You're going to inherit God at the end, and he's going to inherit you. You're his inheritance. You're the bride for him, and he wants to be over all of Israel, over all the Gentiles, and over all pagans and everybody. He wants to have some, but not everybody, but some. So the wicked will perish because they hated their neighbor. They hated their neighbor, and hatred won't build the kingdom of God. You have to be in love with your neighbor. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. As you wish to be loved, love everybody else. What happens? New world. Don't look for it now because we haven't yet got all the sin out of us. But it will happen, and God will do it. And you can't do it. And you can't help him. And you can't even co-op with him or co-redempt. You know, you can't do it. So just relax. You're already beloved of God. You're not changing God when you're beloved. He already loved you from the foundation of the world. And he wants all men to be there, but he doesn't use force. Unlike the enemy, they use force. He doesn't use any force. He just preaches the gospel and it wins people. So you can actually affect your whole neighborhood. You can affect your whole city. You can affect Texas itself. You can affect America. I believe, this is what I believe. I believe that God brought me here to Texas years ago, 50 years ago. And I believe he brought me here because I believe something's going to happen in Dallas-Fort Worth. And it won't surprise me at all because people have prophesied that over the years. So it's not a new prophecy. It's just that I believe that God is going to do something in this Metroplex area and which will be part of. And so if that's the case, I'm not going to do anything to help it. I'm not going to say anything that'll help it. I'm just going to say whatever God says to say. And all I do is read the word. This word will save. And you're always victorious. He just leads you from triumph to triumph. There's no way you could ever lose when you have Jesus on your side. 99%, 99.999, even of Christians, they don't know that God loves them. They know the theory. They know it in their head, but they don't know it in the heart. So they're murmuring and they're griping and they're complaining, and that's not going to do it. God wants to renew everybody's heart today. So who's ready to receive Jesus Christ to go all the way, not just head knowledge. You want heart knowledge, and that's an experience. That's not just simply reading it and hearing it. That's just head knowledge. This is now reading it, hearing it, and then actually living it. That is God. That's why you'll have fruit, because God's ready to bear fruit in His church. Amen? I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, her, whatever. So you're the bride of Christ. You're also the body of Christ. The body is it, and the bride is her. So however it works out, it's just exactly what God wanted. There's no way God can lose. There's no way you can ever lose with God, because He's the winner, and He gives you all His winnings. Everything He's done is for you. Everything. So, who'd like to make a testimony? One. Okay, number two. Okay, number one.